Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. We dedicate a whole episode to Tucker Carlson, why he's under attack and what he's saying is more important than ever. If you want to support our program and the stances we are taking and the truth we are spreading, go to charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts and questions. freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. Rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there, how'd you hear about us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Tucker Carlson is the most powerful media figure in America. I had a politician ask me the other day, who's the most powerful Republican? Well, I said, Tucker Carlson is running the Republican Party. He has been for quite some time. His monologues, his guests, his analysis, his wisdom, his charm, his diction. He has been in the zone. It's almost like watching Michael Jordan in the 1990s. Every night, you know he's going to perform. When the pressure is on, Tucker delivers analysis that resonates with millions of people. If you watch the numbers that Tucker Carlson is delivering every night, it is unprecedented in cable television. And Fox News has doubled and tripled down behind Tucker Carlson. As you know, they have Tucker Carlson today. They're basically making him the face of all of Fox News. When Fox came under criticism last November for some of their election coverage, Tucker was one of the main reasons why their network was able to rebound in the ratings so quickly. One of the reasons why Tucker Carlson is so popular is that he talks about issues beyond just Republican good and Democrat bad. He does more than just the meat and potatoes thing. He goes a level deeper. He talks about troubling trends in America, whether it be immigration, trade, globalism, nutrition, communication, speech, tech. Tucker's on top of the game. Tucker's also ridiculously intelligent. And he works really hard. I am honored to call Tucker Carlson a friend. I've spent a lot of social time with Tucker. We've had Tucker on our program. And those of you watching on the live stream, you're going to be re-watching our exclusive conversation with Tucker Carlson when he came on the Charlie Kirk Show. We had him at our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit back in December. And I could tell you, he was amazing. Generous with his time. Even went and greeted some of our students outside that weren't able to come into our building at the Palm Beach Convention Center. because of some virus lockdown restrictions. He was incredible. Tucker Carlson is under attack right now. And Tucker Carlson, he's not a stranger to these sorts of controversies where he says something true and quite honestly, very mainstream, and it's met with an unbelievably aggressive response from the activist groups, the people who run our tech companies, some of the nonprofit organizations on the left, the Washington Post, and many others. And so I saw this segment last week. I saw it in real time. I thought to myself, I actually turned to my fiance. I said, oh boy, they're not going to like that. Because he said some words that are not exactly going to be well received. And unfortunately, I was right. Tucker Carlson had an exchange with the great Mark Stein, who I really enjoy. I think Mark Stein is a very talented communicator about immigration, about what it means. And I want to play this entire clip. It's a minute and 47 seconds. It's very rare that we do this, but this is now creating a feud between tech CEOs, a feud between people that run our media institutions of why Tucker Carlson must be eliminated, why he must be sent out to pasture. I want you to listen carefully to this exchange of Tucker Carlson with Mark Stein. This has resulted in numerous op-eds in the Washington Post. Tucker Carlson shows what mass-marketed racism looks like. How do immigrants who run Fox feel about how Tucker Carlson's anti-immigrant rants? Tucker Carlson's defense of his replacement rant gives away the game. This is all the Washington Post, by the way. Basically, their op-ed section has been dedicated to the cancellation of Tucker Carlson. Listen to this exchange yourself. It's a minute and 47 seconds. It's worth listening to. Play tape.
You've covered where the government shows preference to people who have shown absolute contempt for our customs, our laws, our system itself, and they're being treated better than American citizens. Now, I know that the left and all the little gatekeepers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement, if you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots, with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. But they become hysterical because that's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it. That's true. If this was happening in your house, if you were in sixth grade, for example, and without telling you, your parents adopted a bunch of new siblings and gave them brand new bikes and let them stay up later and help them with their homework and gave them twice the allowance that they gave you, you would say to your siblings, you know, I think we're being replaced by kids that our parents love more. And it would be kind of hard to argue against you because look at the evidence. So this matters on a bunch of different levels, but on the most basic level, it's a voting rights question. In a democracy, one person equals one vote. If you change the population, you dilute the political power of the people who live there. So every time they import a new voter, I become disenfranchised as a current voter. So I don't understand why we don't understand this. I mean, everyone wants to make a racial issue out of it. Ooh, the, you know, white replacement theory. No, no, no. This is a voting rights question. I have less political power because they're importing a brand new electorate. Why should I sit back and take that? The power that I have as an American, guaranteed at birth, is one man, one vote, and they're diluting it. No, they're not allowed to do that. Why are we putting up with this?
Nothing he said there is controversial. It's factual and it's true. So immediately, some of the activist groups come out and they say that Tucker Carlson is endorsing this conspiracy theory that, quite honestly, I was unaware of. It's really interesting. The left is more aware of fringe conspiracy theories than those of us that are actually in the conservative movement, because I actually think they obsess over it and they almost want people to believe these things and then they can have a license to censor us. And it's this idea of white replacement theory, which is a ridiculous idea somehow rooted in anti-Semitism, that there's this belief that people who are running the world want to bring in people just solely on race to destroy the white race. Tucker went out of his way to say, no, 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 that's not what I'm talking about. It's a voting rights question. Now, a small little tweak to Tucker's monologue, not that I'm one to tweak it. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. We do have democratic means. I know what he means by that. He says that quite often. It's just one little adjustment. And I've had some private dialogue with him on that before. Not worth airing because I'm actually much more focused not on one word selection. I'm focused on the truthful statement that Tucker delivered to millions of people. And so what is the response? The response has been rather extraordinary. So I want you to, this is Michael Gerson, who writes for the Washington Post. This now passes as opinion pieces in the Washington Post. Listen to this. Nearly every phrase of Carlson's statement is the euphemistic expression of white supremacist replacement doctrine. Get this. Quote, the Democrat Party means liberals, which translates into Jews. This now passes as an op-ed in the Washington Post. That Michael Gerson somehow thinks that those of us that say the Democrat Party, we're actually thinking of Jewish people. That's an insane proposition. Tucker doesn't mean that. I don't mean that. Anyone in a position of communication or trusted authority does not mean that when they say the Democrat Party. Michael Gerson, writing here in the Washington Post, is gaslighting intentionally to try to say something exists where it doesn't. Now, we're going to keep on diving into this because it's so important, because Tucker right now is under attack and he does not have enough allies defending him, because they're not actually upset at Tucker. They're upset that he's revealing their plunder. Tucker is revealing what's actually happening in the country. And that's why they're pulling the fire alarm. Do you know how much you need to save to have a comfortable retirement? The average retirement savings for families, according to one recent study, is $255,000. If you are using these averages as goals for your own retirement, let me be blunt. You are not on the right track. Even $1 million won't be enough by the time you retire because of inflation. Retirement is not one size fits all. How much should you save depends on what kind of lifestyle you want to pursue after retirement. But remember that inflation should be factored in. The $1 million you saved 40 years ago is worth less than half of that now. So invest in assets that will store the value of your investment. That's key to diversifying your portfolio. And there's nothing better than gold. I'm a believer in gold. Did you know that if you invested $1 million in gold 40 years ago, you'd be sitting on over $50 million today? So think about it. If you put $1,000 in gold today, how much will that be worth when you have grandkids? That could afford any lifestyle you want. I know you've got questions, and Noble Gold is a trustworthy resource for answers. Contact a Noble Gold representative to learn more about making your saving a priority. If you didn't start early, that's okay. There's no time like today to get started and make sound financial decisions. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and call one of their experts, NobleGoldInvestments.com. So Tucker had a 1 minute, 47 second conversation with Mark Stein. Nothing about it was controversial at all. And Tucker, he made me so proud. I was proud to cheer him on last evening because Tucker doubled and tripled down last evening. So what Tucker was really talking about is how demographics play a role in shaping the American electorate. Now, generally, I do not like the overemphasis on people's voting bloc. But now that we have customizable political choices that are based on your race, creed, sex, and gender, whether we like it or not, groups are going to vote more and more in a certain direction. That's the downside of identity politics, which we abhor. So when you allow a nonstop deluge of people from one part of the planet into America, and then you act like it will change nothing, everything's going to be fine, you're insulting your voters. Demographics are traditionally not solely determinative. But in America, you'd be foolish to say if they're not a factor. In fact, they're a major factor. A growing factor in how people vote and the policies they demand. Now, Democrats know this. And while they tell you that demographics don't matter, do you notice they only talk about demographics? Democrats say demographics mean nothing. Meanwhile, we're going to talk about your race, your creed, your class, and your gender nonstop. They pander to people's demographics, and they're seeking to remake the country. We know this. Now, let me be very clear. Do I believe that attempts should be made to course correct Republican and conservatives' deficits with Latino and Black voters? Of course I do. That's a completely separate issue. This is an intentional flooding the zone of new voters from the third world who will do what they are told for a specific political purpose. Cut 31. Tucker doubles down on this last evening. Cut 31.
You wonder how much longer they imagine Americans are going to go along with this. An entire country forced to lie about everything all the time. It can't go on forever, but you can see why they're trying it. Demographic change is the key to the Democratic Party's political ambitions. Let's say that again for emphasis, because it is the secret to the entire immigration debate. Demographic change is the key to the Democratic Party's political ambitions. In order to win and maintain power, Democrats plan to change the population of the country. They're no longer trying to win you over with their program. They're obviously not trying to improve your life. They don't even really care about your vote anymore. Their goal is to make you irrelevant. That is provably true. And because it's true, it drives them absolutely crazy when you say it out loud. A hurt dog barks. They scream about how noting the obvious is immoral. You're a racist if you dare to repeat things that they themselves proudly say.
So what's the significance of all of this? The significance is that if you dare point out the fact that they're trying to remake the electorate, they're going to call you the worst thing you could possibly be called, which is a racist. Now, there's not a racist bone in Tucker Carlson's body. Tucker Carlson is a decent person. In fact, all the people writing about him in the Washington Post, I think they might have some racist tendencies. We're going to go through all the criticisms. And there's an extraordinary amount of backlash because Tucker is actually articulating why they are doing this. They're doing this because Democrats no longer want to be concerned or distracted with the needs, wants, or concerns with the American working class. You see, Tucker Carlson doubling down last evening was basically saying to all the people that are given power that no one voted for, the people who run the Washington Post, the people that run the tech companies, know that we actually need to have a robust discussion on something the founding fathers warned us against. And there's a really important principle here that we're going to dive into in the next segment. The founding fathers wrote explicitly about in this beautiful, the greatest political document ever written, the United States Constitution. They wrote about it in the Declaration. They wrote about it in the Federalist Papers. And that principle is not talked about enough. And Tucker danced around it, but I'm going to put it in a way the founding fathers wrote it explicitly. Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. Tucker Carlson has been the focal point of a lot of news coverage, especially amongst the intelligentsia, because he's really talking about not just something that is true, but he's the only person pinpointing the issue of immigration and open borders for what it actually is. And it's a big political game, and it's a violation of a promise that is made in the United States Constitution. It's a violation of a promise of natural rights, the natural rights doctrine. It's so simply put like this. And I'm going to first play this tape from Tucker because I'm going to allow him his opportunity to say it. And he says it really well. And then I'm going to say it a little bit differently with how the founding fathers said it. So let's play cut 32. Tucker Carlson.
But no matter what they're allowed to say in public, everyone understands the truth. When you change who votes, you change who wins. That fact has nothing inherently to do with race or nationality. It's the nature of democracy. It is always true. You can watch it happen. You probably have. All across the country, we have seen huge changes in election outcomes caused by demographic change. New people move in and they vote differently. As a practical matter, it doesn't matter what they look like or where they're from even. All that matters is that they have different political views. This is every bit as true when the migrants come from Brookline as when they come from Oaxaca. In Vermont, white liberals fleeing the mess they made in New York turned the state blue. As recently as 1992, Vermont was reliably Republican. Hard to believe as that is. Vermont is now a parody of lifestyle liberalism. That's demographic change at work. You see the same thing happening in the state of New Hampshire as refugees from Massachusetts flood north and bring their bad habits with them. Montana, Idaho, Nevada all face similar problems. The affluent liberals who wrecked California aren't sticking around to see how that ends. They're running to the pallid hideaways of Boise and Bozeman, distorting local culture and real estate markets as they do it. Pretty soon, people who were born in the Mountain West won't be able to live there.
So here's an interesting question, and Tucker's posed this in the past. If there are 350,000 Polish and Ukrainian Eastern Europeans on the southern border, do you think Democrats would want them into our country? Of course not. They vote reliably Republican. Do you think if there were 200,000 Venezuelans wanting to come into America, Democrats would want them in America? Of course not. No, Democrats have found a specific demographic group that is more likely to vote Democrat than not. Now, why is that? Well, Democrats are promising them immigration amnesty. And generally, in the Central American culture, a heavy hand of government is something that is built into their culture. That's not the case in Cuba. It's not the case in Venezuela or Argentina. They do not want a heavy hand of government. They've seen what that does. Instead, in Central America, largely because of a heavy emphasis on liberation theology and Catholic social teaching, there is an emphasis on a heavier hand of government, a social welfare government. Now, with that being said, those groups can be won over on the abortion issue, the marriage issue, and the crime issue. But turning that is not easy, especially when that deluge is nonstop. So what Tucker's really talking about here is something that James Madison warned about. And here's the principle. Voters choose their leaders. Leaders don't get to choose their voters. That is a principle that is defined multiple times in the United States Constitution. When you think about it, Iran, China, and North Korea, the voters are not actually choosing who's in charge. The people in charge are choosing who they get to rule or govern. And so when Joe Biden and the Democrats want to remake the electorate in their image, they're basically saying, I don't care what the current voters have to say. I consider their ability to exercise their right to vote as a potential annoyance or as a threat to my power. You see, it's a little bit of shaky ground right now for Democrats. It's uneasy footing. For Democrats, they don't believe they're going to be in power forever unless they are able to change the political makeup and demographic. And so what Republicans should do is say, okay, you want to bring in 600,000 Nicaraguans and Hondurans? Why don't you want to bring in 600,000 Poles in or Lithuanians? Now, of course, Democrats would never even want to have that conversation because they'd say, oh, no, we want to bring in a lot more. No, they don't. They want to bring in a certain immigrant group that benefits them politically. It's a big difference. And Tucker Carlson has made that point repeatedly. Cut 33, Tucker Carlson says, Americans have the right to move from state to state, but encouraging foreigners to move to this country is an attack on our country. He keeps on saying democracy. It's the only edit I have in his monologues because it's a very, I don't like that word. However, Tucker's the man. Play tape.
But in most of this country, it is immigration from other nations more than anything else that has driven political transformation. And this is different from what we've seen in Vermont. Americans have every right to move to new states if they want, even if they have silly political opinions. But our leaders have no right to encourage foreigners to move to this country in order to change election results. Doing that is an attack on our democracy. Yet for decades, our leaders have done just that, and they keep doing it, and they keep doing it because it works. Consider Virginia. The counties across the river from Washington, D.C. now contain one of the largest immigrant communities in the United States. Most of these immigrants are hardworking and decent people. Many have been very successful in business. Good for them. but they also have very different politics from the people who used to live there. Their votes have allowed Democrats to seize control of the entire state and change it into something unrecognizable. Governor Blackface Klan Robes in Richmond owes his job to immigrants in Arlington and Falls Church. Similar trends are now underway in Georgia and North Carolina and many other states. Mass immigration increases the power of the Democratic Party.
And if you dare say that, you get an op-ed written against you in the Washington Post. This is also happening in New York, where we're on right now with WABC, where they are subsidizing illegals by giving them cash payments of $15,600. Why would they want to do that? Because they know they're going to vote a certain way. So Greg Sargent writes this piece in the Washington Post. This is one of the most remarkable pieces I have ever read. The lack, I don't know how an editor or how anyone publishes this. This reads like an angry Facebook post. The lack of self-awareness. I'm not even going to get into the merit of his arguments or anything. No, just how he contradicts himself two paragraphs later. Let me read this to you. So Greg Sargent says, Tucker Carlson's defense of his, quote, replacement rant gives away the game. So here's what he says, quote, I'm somewhat agnostic of whether these segments can constitute a dog-whistling reproduction of the great replacement theory. I'd argue the comments are revealing for what they say explicitly. He quotes Tucker Carlson's idea of demographic change, the key to Democrats' party's political ambitions. Of course it is. So then he continues by saying, Carlson is trading on a profound but frequent distortion of the concept of national sovereignty. He simply treats it as self-evident that more immigration, even more legal immigration, undermines the character and political integrity of a nation. This is what Greg Sargent says. He says, there are two big deceptions here. The first is that Democrats want to increase immigration only for cynical electoral purposes. So get this. He writes, I kid you not, that the reason for immigration... This is in the Washington Post. As he is trying to criticize Tucker Carlson for saying that Democrats want increased immigration for demographic reasons, this is what he writes. Democrats have argued that immigration is a requirement of global justice, a recognition of moral duty to fundamental humanity of outsiders, and a solution to the long-term U.S. demographic woes. Let me read that again. Greg Sargent says in an article where he's saying that immigration is not about demographics is that immigration is about demographics. At least use a different word. Like, do you have a thesaurus? Like, just at least, like, find a different word. Your whole thesis of this piece is that Tucker Carlson is wrong for saying that immigration is about demographics. And then in paragraph five, he says, Democrats want immigration as a solution to long-term United States demographic woes. So you're a racist if you say that immigration is about demographics, but I am now going to say in the seventh article of my op-ed that immigration is about demographics. Just find a synonym. At least launder your ridiculous ideas a little bit. Camouflage, a little bit of smokescreen. How does an editor not say, hey, Greg, you can't make an argument and then contradict your argument two paragraphs later? This is exactly what they're talking about. He makes the point. I kid you not. Let me read this again. He waves the sword at the beginning. He says, double down. Tucker Carlson's basically a racist. His worldview is that one of truly hostile to democracy. Da, 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 da. In turn, unmask the ideological underbelly of the broader right-wing populist nationalist movement that he defenders his champion. Okay, fine. Got it. Thanks. And then he continues by saying, that Democrats want increased immigration because they want to find a solution to the long-term United States demographic woes. Long-term United States demographic woes. Interesting. So it is all about demographics. And then he continues by saying that Tucker Carlson is a bad person for mentioning this, even though he agrees. Greg Sargent continues by attacking J.D. Vance, who's terrific, by the way. And this piece, again, is an op-ed piece in the Washington Post. Tucker Carlson's defense of his replacement rant gives away the game. Well, no, actually, Greg Sargent, you gave away the game in this piece. You admitted in your own piece that Tucker Carlson is not saying anything racist. He's reading from your own admission of what immigration is all about. It's trying to solve a demographic issue, therefore solve a political issue. I'm going to reiterate a point I said earlier. The founding fathers feared a system where the voters aren't choosing their leaders, but the leaders are choosing their voters. This is why redistricting does not go through the United States House of Representatives. Redistricting goes to the state legislature and the governor's mansion. That there's a disconnect of how redistricting congressional districts, how you're able to appropriate who you represent is not ever a focus of the actual people who are elected by those. And so if you're able to remake an entire body politic in an image that fits your own political ambitions, then you're violating every single promise in the United States Constitution. Every single one. You're violating the compact. You're violating the promise of representative government, consent to the governed. What Tucker is really getting here is the same sort of critique that was embedded in the founding fathers in the Declaration, which is, we don't consent to this. You're making decisions without our approval. And that's what makes them so mad at Tucker. A gas station sells regular unleaded for $4 a gallon. The gas stations next door sell the exact same unleaded gas for $2 a gallon. So which are you going to buy? The $2 gas, right? It's a no-brainer. So why are you still paying overinflated rates for wireless with Verizon, T-Mobile, or AT&T when you could be getting the exact same coverage as one of those big carriers with PureTalk? Except get this, it costs you less than half. The average family is saving over $800 a year. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just over $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. Switching is so easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or choose from the latest iPhones or Androids. Make the smart choice and switch to PureTalk. Just dial #250, that's #250, say the keyword Charlie Kirk to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Charlie Kirk. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless. I want to get to one New York story here that caught my attention, and then we're going to continue with Tucker Carlson in depth, which is very important because he's talking about, I only just skimmed the surface of why I think this is critical and how we actually need to communicate this. But what's happened to Andrew Cuomo? I get so annoyed is not even the right word. I'm still trying to crack the code of how Democrats internally handle these scandals. I don't think Andrew Cuomo is going anywhere. And Andrew Cuomo is basically setting a precedent for every single Republican out there that now if you get accused of these sort of Me Too things. Oh, by the way, and also the nursing home scandal, which is the true scandal of what Andrew Cuomo did. All you have to do is just wait it out and you are going to be defended. So what is the New York Times doing? Believe it or not, the New York Times is offering cover fire for Andrew Cuomo. It says Albany Boys Club hasn't gotten #MeToo memo. Culture of harassment goes beyond claims against Cuomo. What they're now saying is, oh, it's a whole culture there. So what Andrew Cuomo is then going to do, and you heard it here first, is Andrew Cuomo is going to say, oh, I'm a victim of this culture, and now I have been awakened, and I apologize. I'm going through therapy and healing, and Andrew Cuomo allowed to stay in power. That's the way this works, because if it's a culture, not an individual that needs to be responsible for their actions, then Andrew Cuomo doesn't have to take responsibility for them. It's a big difference. So Andrew Cuomo is going to say, you know what? I've realized that because of all of this, I need to act better and be a better person, but I'm not the only one. Look at this horrible, rotten institution I inherited, and I will be the one that changes it. And that's what the New York Times is trying to say here. They're trying to give him an escape hatch because they're saying it goes beyond him. It's bigger. It's a structure. It's a system. Andrew Cuomo will be able to use that as a way to not resign and escape this political scandal. However, I think the real liability, as it always has been, is the nursing home scandal. Not the Me Too scandal, the nursing home scandal. Let's go to Tucker, cut 34. Immigration is not showing much compassion to refugees. It's about an electoral advantage. Cut 34.
For Democrats, the point of immigration is not to show compassion to refugees, much less to improve our country. It's definitely not about racial justice. Mass immigration hurts African Americans maybe more than anyone else. Immigration is a means to electoral advantage. It is about power. More Democratic voters mean more power for Democratic politicians. That's the signature lesson of the state of California. Between 1948 and 1992, the state of California voted for exactly one Democratic presidential candidate. One. Alone among America's big population centers, in vivid contrast to Chicago and New York, California was reliably, proudly Republican. For 8 years, no less a figure than Ronald Reagan ran the state. California had the country's best schools, the best infrastructure, the best economy, not to mention the prettiest natural environment on the planet. California is a model for the world. In 1980, Ronald Reagan, its former governor, became president of the United States. In retrospect, it never got any better for California.
It's easy to say that Republicans could have done a better job of winning over Latino voters. I think there's some truth to that. But I don't think that's the entirety of the argument. I think that when you alter an electorate so significantly and act as if things will stay the same, you're fooling yourself. There's no wisdom in that at all whatsoever. And again, demographics are not solely determinative. But more and more, because of identity politics, people are voting based on group. They're being communicated that way. I wish that wasn't the case. But Democrats say, don't talk about demographics, even though our Washington Post piece says that immigration is all about demographics. But if you dare actually mention the obvious, you're a bad person. And so mass immigration benefits two groups of people in particular, the Chamber of Commerce crowd. And I just want to be very clear. I get more emails on this than anyone else. People conflate my criticism of the Chamber of Commerce to your local Chamber of Commerce. I'm sure your local Chamber of Commerce in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or Bozeman, Montana, or Janesville, Wisconsin, or Fort Wayne, Indiana is terrific. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the National Chamber of Commerce. The National Chamber of Commerce favors open borders. They favor cheap labor. They favor woke ideas. Those are the people that run Delta Airlines. Those are the people that run Major League Baseball. I just want to make that very clear. But the Chamber of Commerce wants cheap labor to keep wages down so they don't actually have to hire American workers or American graduates. Democrats want open borders for a political purpose, for power. But there's one unifying reason why this has become so easy for our country. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to tease it throughout the next couple of segments. And we're finally going to land the plane there because there's something that's happening in our country that I think we need to recognize, which is a direct correlation with how we have become a less Christian nation. And therefore, we have a feeling that's hard to articulate at times, but we're going to get to that. Tucker Carlson, cut 35. And by the way, just let me say, Tucker's monologue yesterday might have been his best ever monologue. And we're going through this to defend him because they are trying to take him out and we are not going to stand for it. We're going to stand with him and clarify and amplify his arguments so that the people that wish to destroy him lose spirit and lose momentum. And that's the right thing to do. Cut 35.
Midway through his second term, Reagan signed something called the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986. Though he didn't likely realize it at the time, that law made future Ronald Reagans impossible. The Immigration Reform and Control Act brought about an amnesty and a path to citizenship for nearly 3 million foreign nationals living in the U.S. illegally. The next year, by executive order, Reagan added to that number. He halted the deportation of another 100,000 illegal minors, the dreamers of his day. The rest of the world watched carefully as this happened. Would-be migrants everywhere concluded that there was no real penalty for breaking America's laws. In fact, there was a reward. Reagan also signed a law that required hospitals to provide free medical care regardless of immigration status. The Supreme Court had already guaranteed free education to anyone who showed up without a visa. So, free hospitals, free schools, amnesty if you get caught. Why wouldn't the rest of the world come? They soon did.
Now, just so we're clear, and I don't know if Tucker mentioned this, Ronald Reagan said this was his biggest mistake of his presidency. Ronald Reagan was a terrific president. Ronald Reagan meant well. He had great intentions. And that's one of the problems with this immigration debate, is immediately it becomes a values debate that if you are a compassionate person, then you should open up your borders to the entire nation of Honduras. If you do not want to let every single person who lives in Nicaragua into America, you're somehow not a good person. Meanwhile, we don't talk about any of the costs, wages, crime, what's happening on the southern border. And yes, the country being more likely to be dominated by Democrats. Now, why is it that low-wage workers and immigrants are more likely to vote Democrat? Because Democrats are unafraid to promise everything regardless the cost. You see, we as conservatives, we don't want to promise something either on moral or pragmatic terms that we're not able to fulfill. We're not willing to all of a sudden promise everything and know we can't deliver it. We have something keeping us in check. It's called integrity. The Democrats, it's all about a power grab. So they say, we're just going to promise everything, deliver a little bit of it, if anything at all, and then call the other side awful names, and we're going to keep on getting voted into power. So immigration has become a weapon. It's become an instrument for Democrats. Instead of running political advertisements, instead of trying to win voters over or having popular opinions, Democrats just say, we are going to remake the electorate. And I will say this, some people out there, and I know some people like this, they have some really good intentions. But good intentions do not translate into good public policy. They don't. In public policy, results matter. With individual actions with human beings, intentions matter. They really do. With public policy, though, you must be results-oriented at all times. So California was the state of the future. Now California leads in homelessness, joblessness, the most unequal state, and California has aborted more children than the entire population of Canada. The question should be, why? Why is an idyllic state? By the way, I love visiting California. Parts of California. There are still some amazingly decent people. My pastors in California, Rob McCoy, Jack Kibbs, James Cadiz, Jurgen, Joe Pettick, so many amazing people. Producer Andrew's in California. The weather is as close to heaven on earth as I think you can get in America. The mornings are just idyllic. The afternoons are beautiful. The evenings are just special. I think everyone who spent time in California agrees that. In fact, that's why they're able to justify their ridiculous taxes. They're basically like, we're going to tax the only asset that we can't totally screw up, which is the weather. It's basically California's sales pitch. That we are taxing our open-air thermostat of being able to live not in hellish winter weather. It's the only reason why California hasn't significantly lost more population. The only reason. And so the question should be is, how did California turn? And also, how is Texas turning? How's Georgia turning? How is New York turning? And some people say, oh, Republicans have just got to do a better job to win these people over. I agree with that. That's a separate issue. And you know what's the one question that none of these people can ever answer? Greg Sargent or Max Boot or any of these guys that wrote these long pieces against Tucker Carlson? Give me a number. Give me a number of how many human beings you think should be coming into America every single year. They're unable to tell you a number. They just say more or generous. The lack of precision in regards to communicating a number exposes their true intentions. They want as many people until they no longer have to compete in elections. That's their number. Some people are asking us about what's happening in Minneapolis. I have a video on Facebook that's going viral. I think it's not a very complicated situation. You have a criminal, an adult who's now being portrayed as a child. It's the Trayvon Martin treatment, who was wanted for aggravated robbery, who in his fun used to smoke blunts and point weapons at his iPhone, who resisted arrest from a black police officer and a female police officer, fled the scene of arrest. A woman police officer who was not ready for prime time took out her firearm when she thought it was her taser and then discharged it, resulting in his death. That's not murder. It's an unfortunate outcome, obviously. But if Dante Wright didn't act like a criminal, he would still be alive. Not that hard to figure out. I'm not saying he deserved death, but his criminal behavior led to a chaotic situation that led to his death. Okay, back to Tucker Carlson. The defense of Tucker Carlson, which is so important because he's been left out on an island and not enough people are spending time to dive into what he's saying and to give him backup because he is being slated for cancellation. And I'm telling you, wait to the next segment. The next segment, we're going to get into his best arguments, mainly against his critics, because many of his critics are very fierce supporters of Israel, as am I. One of the reasons I love Israel, strong borders and control of who comes into the country. I love that about Israel. Tucker exposes that as the fraud that they are. Okay, cut 39, talking about how California was changed because of unlimited immigration. Cut 36, I'm sorry. These are also similar. Cut 36, please. Thank you.
There are now about twice as many registered Democrats in California as there are Republicans. How'd that happen? There's not much debate about it. The counties in California with the highest percentage of Republicans are, not coincidentally, those with the lowest percentage of immigrants, and vice versa. California changed because the population changed. Analysis, for example, the 2012 presidential election showed that if you were actually from there, if you'd lived in the state of California in 1980, you probably still voted Republican. Your views hadn't really changed. But as your state swelled with foreign voters, your views became irrelevant.
And in cut 38, Tucker continues by saying, in 1986, California was the richest landmass of its size in the world, but now has more poor people than any state and a higher poverty rate than Mississippi. Why? When you open your doors to the third world, things change and Democrats get into power permanently. They are using the California model on the rest of the country. Bring in 50 million new people, promise them a bunch of stuff. Rich people are going to be on touch with private security and gated communities, and we get to call the shots. Play tape.
In 1986, California was the richest landmass of its size in the world. California now has more poor people than any state in the country. As of this year, according to the best measurements available from the federal government, California has a higher poverty rate than Mississippi. It's at the highest in the nation. How did this happen? In a healthy country, one that prized honesty and free inquiry and legitimate social science, we would be asking that question urgently. How did a place as idyllic as California become so miserable that huge numbers of people who were born there decided to abandon their homes and flee? If you cared about the United States, you would want to know the answer. You'd want to make absolutely certain it didn't happen anywhere else. Yet the Democratic Party is working to make certain it happens everywhere else.
If every single Nicaraguan and Honduran and Mexican coming into America was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, the wall would be built overnight, and we would be called awful people for wanting to dilute the political power of Democrats that are here in our country. But no, instead, the Honduran and Mexican and Nicaraguan border jumpers are wearing Biden t-shirts. By the way, who's paying for those t-shirts? A pretty important question. They didn't all of a sudden go to a local Walmart or t-shirt shop in Monterrey, Mexico on their caravan from the Central American Triangle and say, you know what I'm going to go do? I'm going to spend my resources, not on a human smuggler, not on food, not on water, not on resources or medicine. I'm going to go buy a t-shirt that says Biden let us in. That's a pretty important question. That would at least be necessary for the Washington Post to maybe, I don't know, go down to the border jumpers and say, who made you these t-shirts that say Biden let us in? That would be an interesting question. No, but instead, we have to be lectured that the biggest threat to Western civilization is a man who has 1 hour to go say something different than everyone else is saying from 8 to 9 Eastern. That guy is a threat to Western civilization. Okay, let's go to cut 42. Jonathan Greenblatt from the Anti-Defamation League has been the one that has been leading the charge for the cancellation of Tucker Carlson. Of a misinterpretation, an intentional misinterpretation of his monologue. Now, Jonathan Greenblatt runs Anti-Defamation League that focuses on anti-Semitism in particular. He's very pro-Israel. Play cut 42.
You penned a letter to Fox News Media CEO Suzanne Scott on Friday saying Carlson's been race baiting for years and it's time for him to go. Have you heard back from Fox yet? What has Fox said back to you since Friday?
Well, look, it's Sunday morning. We were closed yesterday for Shabbat and we sent this out Friday afternoon. So we haven't heard anything yet. But I'll tell you why, if we step back, this is so problematic. And as you pointed out, Tucker Carlson has a history of sanitizing stereotypes and of spreading this kind of poison. But what he did on Thursday night really was indeed, as you put it, a new low. The great replacement theory, as it's known, is this toxic idea that there are a cabal of Jews plotting to overrun the country with immigrants, Muslims, black people, etc., and commit what they call white genocide. It is literally, Brian, a staple of white supremacist and extremist ideology.
Tucker actually denounced that in his monologue. This guy's a pathological liar. I don't know what this guy's problem is coming on television and saying something that is just so intentionally misrepresentative. Let's talk about Israel, though. I love Israel. I love going to Israel. As a Christian, it's so important to me to be able to see the Bible in Technicolor, being able to go down to Hebron, where Abraham purchased the land, where he is buried, and Isaac and Rebekah are buried. It was the first real estate deal ever done in the history of the world. I love being able to walk to the old city of Jerusalem, the Kidron Valley, the Garden of Gethsemane. One of the other reasons why I love Israel is because Israel has a very clear definition of who they are as a country. They are a Jewish state. Let me ask a question. Is Israel racist because they don't want every single Arab in Israel? Because guess what? Every single Arab wants to be in Israel because it's wealthier, it's safer, and it's a better place to live. Is Israel racist? Of course not. Israel is rightly defining and protecting their borders and their sovereignty. For anyone who's been to Israel, you know, it's a heavily fortified country. Good luck going into Judea and Samaria as a Jew or a Western Christian into what's called Zone 2 or Zone 3. They'll cut your head off. The Arabs will. Now, if one of those Arabs try to go into Israel without the right paperwork, not going to happen. So Israel has a very regulated flow of people because Israel knows that if they just had open borders, all of Jordan, all of Syria would flow into Israel and Israel would no longer be a Jewish state. Are they fear-mongering? Of course not. So Jonathan Greenblatt has a lot of explaining to do. It turns out Tucker Carlson and I are on the same page. Cut 41.
In a short essay posted to the site, the ADL explains why the state of Israel should not allow more Arabs to become citizens with voting rights. Quote, with historically high birth rates among the Palestinians and a possible influx of Palestinian refugees and their descendants now living around the world, the ADL explains, Jews would quickly become a minority within a binational state, thus likely ending any semblance of equal representation and protections. In this situation, the Jewish population would be increasingly politically and potentially physically vulnerable. It is unrealistic and unacceptable, the ADL continues, to expect the state of Israel to voluntarily subvert its own sovereign existence and nationalist identity and become a vulnerable minority within what was once its own territory, end quote. Now, from Israel's perspective, this makes perfect sense. Why would any democratic nation make its own citizens less powerful? Isn't that the deepest betrayal of all? In the words of the ADL, why would a government subvert its own sovereign existence? Good question. Maybe ADL President Jonathan Greenblatt will join us sometime to explain and tell us whether that same principle applies to the United States.
And they don't believe it applies to the United States. And in there is the hypocrisy and the contradiction. I'm a fierce advocate for Israel. And by the way, let me just say this. It is so exhausting to get lectured on anti-Semitism from left-wingers that are also silent on Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and the people that actually hate Jews in the Democrat Party. And for those of us like myself and Tucker that actually defend Israel and reject anti-Semitism, to have to continue to be just thrown with this nonsense and this garbage, it's exhausting. And it's not just unfair. It's actually really bad for the country. It is. So you can't have it both ways. Is Israel's immigration policy moral or immoral? I have long argued it's moral. Because Israel has a mission statement. You know what Israel's mission statement is? We are going to be the one place on the planet that is a majority Jewish country. Good for them. I'm glad that they are willing to say it. Now, could you imagine if America said that we are now going to say that we are going to be an English-speaking people? Whoa, can't say that. You can't say that we are going to be a Western country. So why does Israel get the chance or the opportunity to correctly say we are going to be a home of the Jewish people? That we are going to restrict who comes into our nation, because if we don't, all of a sudden we're going to have 6 million Jordanians that are going to dilute the votes of people in Tel Aviv and people in Jerusalem and people all up and down the beautiful country of Israel. Do you know, you want to know why Israel has not been obliterated? And by the way, Israel is the only country in the Middle East that has been attacked from every single neighbor of every direction on the same day and survived that attack. Israel knows what it's like to be under attack. That's why they have the policies they have. So the ADL comes out with this statement saying, well, Palestinians have high birth rates, and therefore that is going to change the fabric of Israel. Okay? So how is that not even somewhat applicable to the United States of America? And the reason is this. The reason is that they don't actually believe the rubbish or the garbage that they're pushing forward. The reason is that there's a cottage industry of virtue signaling in our country where you can go on cable television and attack Tucker Carlson for saying nothing wrong, even though he denounced the very same thing that you said he's saying, because it gives you value and it gives you a platform. And the Democrats are now openly admitting that demographics is their key to perpetual political power. We have a cut here of... where's the quote from that, the cut from that one conference, the Obama administration official? Do we have that one? Oh, yeah, cut 43.
So that when we get to 2042 or 2045, whatever year you want to use, that we actually will not be suffering from what other countries like South Africa have, which is having the numbers but not having the power. Mm-hmm. We want... you know, people say demographics are not destiny. Well, we're trying to make it destiny. Yes. So that's the work that we're doing.
Amen. And that's a perfect note to transition to the next piece, which is intersectionality.
Nice transition. Let's go to intersectionality. It's like, whoa, okay. So let's go to another thing that's destroying the country. We'll do a whole podcast on intersectionality. She says right there, we're trying to make demographics destiny. Okay, got it. So the Washington Post says, if you dare mention demographics as the main reason as to why liberals want more immigrants, you're a bad person. And then they go on and say that this is a solution to long-term United States demographic issues. Then the Alliance Anti-Defamation League comes out, ADL, and they say to Tucker Carlson, they say, you're a bad person because you want to have strict immigration to make sure the country doesn't get changed. At the same time, they say, if Israel opened up its borders to Lebanon, to Jordan, to Syria, to Egypt, do you think Israel would be the same? Israel is the wealthiest country outside of Saudi Arabia and Iran in the entire region, and maybe Qatar, or maybe the UAE. The point is that in the bordering areas, much wealthier than Syria per capita, much wealthier than Lebanon per capita, why don't they just open their borders? Is there some deep-seated hatred in the Israeli government? No. In fact, that's actually the argument that many of the open border activists make. They call Israel an apartheid state. Of course it's not an apartheid state. It's ridiculous. They compare Israel to South Africa. It's outrageous. But I'm going to defend Israel's sovereignty, but more importantly, because I'm a citizen of this nation, I'm going to defend America's sovereignty. So I'm not going to be lectured by activists that are okay with Israel defending their borders and the flow of their people, but in the moment that we try to defend our borders and our people, we get called bad names. It's ridiculous. It's either morally okay to want to have some say over who comes into your country or not. And if all of a sudden the status quo is that you must have open borders, no questions asked, and then Israel needs to go let in 8 million Arabs, and here's what would happen. Half the world's Jewry, which lives in Israel, would be criminalized beyond belief. They know this. If Israel laid down all of their weapons, the Jews would be dead. If the Arabs laid down their weapons, there would be peace in the Middle East. That has always been the case. So Israel takes an offensive measure. They build walls. Tall walls. I always love getting lectured by these left-wing Democrats, people like Jonathan Greenblatt. Donald Trump's wall is evil. Oh, really? Tell me about your last visit to Jerusalem, Jonathan Greenblatt. How did that one go? Did you try to go into Judea and Samaria without armed guards from the IDF? Do you want to just have Israel be overrun by Palestinian Authority Arabs? Of course not. Israel builds walls because they care about their home, and they should, by the way. Because there's a Jewish trinity, whether you know it or not, which is God, Torah, Israel. God, Torah, Israel. Israel is a huge part to the Jewish faith. It's a huge part to the Christian faith as well. And I totally respect their right to defend their own borders. I respect any nation the right to defend their own borders. That's what a nation is. And by the way, the idea of a nation came from the Torah. The idea of a nation came from the Bible. And so now, but Jonathan Greenblatt and the people that are now trying to get Tucker Carlson fired, they don't view America as a nation. They don't view American as a country. They view America as a colony. It's a big difference. We're going to maximize our profits, let people in. They're going to get a bunch of cheap plastic from China, and we're going to break the back. No, no, no. America's our home. No different than someone in Jerusalem calls Israel their home. This is my home. And I'm going to defend it. And I'm not going to allow to be lectured by people that say it's okay for Israel to defend their borders, but not our own borders. So that word replace is somehow a white supremacist word, that if you dare say that there is any replacement happening, you're somehow a bad person. Well, is this Julian Castro? Who wrote this? Julian? Whatever. He wrote a piece. Actually, let's let Tucker talk about it. Then I'm going to dissect this piece. So let's go to cut 39, please.
In the fall of 2018, a columnist for the New York Times wrote a piece that was literally entitled, "We Can Replace Them." In case you wondered who the them was, the column told you explicitly. Thanks to demographic change, the author noted with hearty approval, the state of Georgia will soon be controlled by Democrats. Quote, "The potential is there. Georgia is less than 53% non-Hispanic white," end quote. Again, that's a New York Times columnist. It's not some QAnon blogger. They tell you that demographic replacement is an obsession on the right. No, it's not. They say it's some horrifying right-wing conspiracy theory. The right is obsessed with it. No, the left is obsessed with it. In fact, it's the central idea of the modern Democratic Party.
And then cut 40 is Julian Castro. Let's go there.
Demographic replacement is their obsession because it's their path to power. Several years ago, future Obama cabinet secretary Julian Castro went on CBS to explain why Texas will soon be a Democratic state.
In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth of folks from outside of Texas.
No one attacked Julian Castro for saying that. No one asked who these, quote, folks from outside Texas might be or why they had a right to control the future of people who already lived in Texas. Nobody said a word about it. It seemed normal.
And they're admitting that bringing in people from across the third world into America is going to have a specific electoral outcome. We Can Replace Them by Michelle Goldberg in the New York Times says this. Right now, America is tearing itself apart as an embittered white conservative minority clings to power. Yeah, that's what's happening. Terrified at being swamped by a new multiracial polyglot majority. Actually, Republicans are the multiracial working class coalition. The divide feels especially stark in Georgia, where the midterm election is a ballad between Trumpist reaction and the multicultural America whose reemergence the right is trying at all costs to forestall. Incredible. But it says here that we can replace them. So we spent a bunch of time on Tucker. Why? There's a lot happening in the world. Why this much time and what Tucker has to say? It's because if they take him out on the cable channel that he's on, millions of people will no longer hear the clearest, most courageous voice in the country saying things that are true. But it's not that they hate him because he has a high IQ and that he's effective. All those things are true. They hate him more than anything else because they know that he is able to pinpoint exactly what they are doing and communicate it to the masses. He knows that this is actually the strategy. And the people that are executing this great deceit, this treachery, this plunder on the American people, they want, the thing they fear the most is being exposed. So demographics are their path to power. So what do we actually do about it? Well, talking about it is actually a very important point. Talking about how they actually do not have open hearts and it's not about benevolence, not about generosity. No. You think that Jeff Bezos actually is ever going to come in contact with a Honduran or a Nicaraguan that's coming into our country? Of course not. Instead, he views them as pieces on a chessboard, an advantage. It's like a game of Risk. I'm going to be able to have the pieces I need to win the game so I can be in power. So either I don't get investigated or I can control the apparatus of government. And then I'm a more important person. So I can be like Alexander the Great of the 21st century. That desire, by the way, is embedded in every single one of these ruling class people. And it's Tucker who's finally calling it out. And I just want to say we stand with Tucker, and you should too. Don't allow these apparatchiks to cancel him. In fact, let's support him more than ever before. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts and questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Really appreciate you guys supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. God bless.